All right. Thank you, Brother Lewis. That's what we ought to be doing. Amen. That's what we are doing as we send the missionaries out and telling the world the answer. The real answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have it. We need to share it. Amen. Well, it's been a great mission conference. We've been thrilled over what we heard. This morning was tremendous. Tremendous. I thought about Brother Coffey sharing that testimony, preaching in the building, preaching the funeral, having the Christians over here and the voodoo crowd over here in a contest of who had the most power. You got that, didn't you? That was tremendous. And God showed himself as God. Amen. And that was a good testimony, and it's been a good meeting. And we're excited about what God's going to do. I believe that, I guess we have a theme in the Senior Patriots. I guess we still have it. The best is still to come. Well, that's what we're counting on. Amen. Some of you look skeptical. You don't think heaven would be better than this? No more power bills, rent bills. Amen. Mortgage payments. Wife nagging, or bullheaded husband, have to cross the street. You have to be fair and balanced, amen. All right. It's good to have Brother Scotty Drake with us. He got sick, couldn't be with us on the start out the other night of the mission conference. I think he might have been listening over the radio or something, watching on the internet or something, but he couldn't be here, and he's still not 100%, but he is back with us today, and he's going to be kind of helping us out here tonight. And he doesn't need any introduction to most of you because he's one of our church members here, but has a real burden for souls, and he's been literally around the world in some dark and dangerous places taking the word of God and working with the missionaries. Many of them are the people of their own land. And he has some tremendous stories to tell you and some real victories that has come about and hundreds of souls that's been saved. And we're glad he's able to be with us tonight. I'm going to ask him to come, and then he'll introduce our missionaries to us tonight. Brother Scotty.
God bless you. All right, it is good to be here. Praise God for that. I'll tell you, I was here last Sunday. I'd been gone for a while, and I heard that the pastor got up and he mentioned Brother Stephen was sick, and I thought, well, that can't be. He's too big and healthy to get sick. And the next thing I knew, Wednesday night, I thought, oh, brother, I'm down. And brother Steve, I just couldn't believe you gave me what that is. But it's been tough. But it's been good. We've had a good meeting. I know you have. I missed Thursday night, but I was here this morning, had a good spirit, and a great crowd tonight. God bless each and every one of you for being here. The first one we're going to hear from, by the way, before I forget, the little boy that you had Thursday night from Brazil?
Yes.
Remember? Yes. How many of you remember? He couldn't speak English? Listen, he was trained by Falco, who this church started supporting through Help Ministry several years ago. Falco's over there winning those people to Christ, and he's teaching them, and he's got more people to send over to the States so they can go back and start churches. But you just needed to know that already people are coming that you've sent out, and they're coming back, and then they're going back and starting churches. So God's good. I want you to know that. Brother Rick, you come and you give us your testimony here. This is Brother Rick from the Philippines. He'll tell you, I'll let you pronounce your last name, Zalcal.
Yes, sir.
All right. How about that? Okay.
Good evening. I'm Brother Rick Zalcal from the islands of the Philippines. I got saved when I was 16. God called me when I was 19. Went to a Bible school. Start a church. 1994, and praise the Lord, because God has given us so many souls to get saved. Amen. And some of them were already trained and already in the mission field sent out. It's been tough in the ministry, but God has been good to us. My wife and my kids were serving the Lord in the islands of in the island of the Philippines, about 120 kilometers north of Manila. So praise the Lord, because during that time, God gave us beautiful members that would serve the Lord and you know, would give their lives to missions. And 2009, I left the church to my assistant because God called me again to another place. 2009, I started another work in somewhere east of north of Manila. And God gave us some, you know, a handful right now of families that God saved. And right now we are training them. And praise the Lord, because while I am here in America doing God's missions, you know, mission work, I called my wife last, maybe 1 week ago, and she said there are already 3 souls ready to be baptized. And so praise the Lord, because 2 of them were young people. You know, when I go back, our goal and our plan is to train these young people and send them to start another church. And praise the Lord, because 2006, I've been to this church, and you took me as one of your missionaries. And so I thank the Lord, sir. I thank your church for your support, your prayers, because your everything that you give to missions is not vain. It's not in vain. You are planting, you are investing a good investment in heaven. So you just pray for us, that God would continue to bless us, God would continue to give us the strength that we need for us to be able to train these young people and, you know, send them again and plant churches for God's glory and His kingdom. So thank you for all your support. Thank you for all the prayers that you give to us in the Philippines.
Right, stay right up here, Rick. Come on up, Brother Howard. You know, the reason we bring these fellows over here, first of all, they need help. But secondly, when we get over here, we say, hey, we want you to be a blessing to the churches. And we found out that no matter where you go, if they're good, fundamental Baptist preachers, they can usually sing the same songs we sing. They preach out of the same gospel we preach out of. And so we like to get them over here, and we like to hear them sing. Now, they can't sing too well, Howard, especially you. But we want you to come on and grunt a little bit, okay? All right.
Amen.
Oftentimes the day seems long, a trial's hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch us bright away. All tears forever. Life will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race, till we see
This is Brother Howard. He's going to give his testimony. Brother Howard Gardner, God bless you. Amen. And by the way, now listen, don't you guys ask us to buy you a bus because you couldn't make it on the road.
No. All right. Amen. Thank you very much. And I'm so glad I could sing from my heart. Amen. It will be worth it all. Amen. When we see Christ. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. You know, at the age of 15, I got baptized. And the reason why I got baptized is because all the young folks was doing it. They was getting baptized. So I went to the preacher and I tell him I want to be baptized too. He then asked me why I want to be baptized. He said, okay, I'll baptize you Sunday. And I went to church and he baptized me that Sunday. And Satan tried to use that to destroy my life with it. I mean, he would tell me, now boy, you as a church member, you okay. You baptized, so you okay. You're going to heaven when you die. And it happened so that I feel pretty good because I'm religious. I go to church once a month. In other words, hey, I've been a pretty good boy as far as I'm concerned. And then one day in 1976, I was tuning in my radio and looking for some really rock and roll music. And I came across this man who preaching the gospel, and he letting it rip, and that was Dr. Oliver B. Green. And anybody know Oliver B. Green or hear about him? He was a man, he knew how to shoot the gospel gun, and he take the gospel gun. My religion was the only thing that was standing between me and hell. Dr. Green take the gospel gun and he blow that religion all to pieces. He leave me exposed to hell. And then I say, I get mad. Who does man think he is? Is he Mr. Perfect? When you're telling me about my religion, I mean, hey, that got me mad. Who does man think he is? And he began to let the bullets fall, and those bullets was coming straight to my chest. After the madness, I got sad because I realized the corrupt man this preacher is preaching about, it's me, Lord. It's me. And he preached, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And I was saying, I'm not wicked. But Dr. Grant pointed out to me that I was wicked, and my destination was hell. That broke my heart. I got sad after that because I realized, hey, I'm exposed to hell. That's where I headed. And then, to the end of Dr. Green's message, I get glad. Because he pointed out to me that I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to go to hell. And he bring the plan of salvation so clear. I bow my head. In fact, it was Sunday, it was Friday, when I listened to the message. And when he bring the plan of salvation so clear, I say, yes, I'm guilty. And I'm going to go to church on Sunday. And I'm going to do something about that. And it seems like Dr. Green know I say that. Or he was reading my mind. And he said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So I realized, hey, I have to do that business now. I bow my head, deserving head, and ask God to forgive me of my sins and save me. And I'm so glad that I'm saved. And I, what a blessing. And then 1984, the Lord called me to preach. When you get saved, don't ever tell the Lord what you don't want to do. Because I didn't want to preach. But everything I didn't want to do, he called me to do. I surrendered myself to him, and he called me to preach. And 1984, I started preaching the Word of God. 1990, I was ordained assistant pastor at the Tabernacle Baptist Church, one of the fundamental Baptist church there in Freeport, Grand Bahama. And then in 2008, the Lord called me into full-time ministry. In fact, 3 years before time for me to retire and get a good, decent package, the Lord called me into full-time ministry. And I couldn't even stop telling him, well, give me 3 more years on the job. No, because God's timing is always now. And I surrender myself to go into full-time ministry. I was working along with the church and a Lutra, we don't have no pastor. But now we have a pastor coming to that take all that work from the States, from North Carolina. And the end of this month, he would be in there, his papers done approved and everything. And so as soon as he gets set in there, then I'll move over to Abaco, one of the islands, the other island of the Bahamas. We don't have no work at all, no Fundamental Baptist Church there in Abaco, and they have but 55,000 people, and God laid that on my heart to start a work there. And I want you pray with me and for me. Me and my wife, we all have the same mind to get involved with full-time ministry and start a work there. And Abaco, and we have many Bahamian islands who don't have no fundamental church at all on it. And my desire is to see churches start on these islands. And I want you to continue to pray for us and with us in that. Thank you.
Amen. All right, I'll tell you what, that's hard to follow. Praise God for people like that. And he's doing what Help Ministry is all about. We're doing our best to get the gospel to places, especially places where there's no gospel. And that's what we want to do. And Brother Howard, God bless your heart. We appreciate those good testimonies. Thank you, Brother Rick. Brother Padgett, thank you for driving for us. Also, Brother Harvey, I would say he's probably out driving for us. And if it wasn't for guys like you and churches like this holding the rope, we'd sink. And we just praise God for it. I want you, please, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. Pastor asked me to wrap up the mission tonight for a few moments. And as far as I'm concerned, after that good testimony, we could probably give an invitation and maybe have somebody get down here and get saved. You've been baptized, you haven't been born again. Bible says you must be born again. And boy, that was really good. Talking about coffee this morning, Humbawoo, he was preaching one night up in Tennessee, and he got up and gave the testimony of how that he thought he was a Catholic and he thought everything was okay, and he found a track. You heard the testimony. We had invited one of the bus captains invited three Muslims to come to church. And one of them was, one was sitting over there, and she used to be a Catholic, and she'd turned to a Muslim. And boy, he gave that testimony, and I went and led the daughter to the Lord. Amen. She said she didn't want to be saved, but she came back the next night and was one of the first persons down the aisle to get saved because she had seen what happened to her daughter. And well, I just tell you, folks, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. We'll do what Pastor asked us, and we'll wrap this up tonight. I'm going to read just one verse for time's sake, chapter number 24 of the book of Joshua, verse number 15. It's a familiar verse. Everybody knows the verse. Your preacher probably has preached on it more times than I can count. And I've preached on it. Other preachers everywhere have preached the same verse, but this is what God's laid on my heart tonight. And if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord, choose you this day. That's what he was talking about a while ago. Not next Sunday. You can't wait till Sunday. Oliver Green said on the radio, today is the day. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to speak to you a few moments on just that. Did you know God made you a free moral agent? But you have many choices to make. Every day of your life, you make a choice. You make choices as to what you're going to wear for the day. You made a choice to be here tonight. I mean, your life is just full of choices, and you make choices. My daddy, years ago, 64 years ago, in a little town in Kentucky, My daddy had a brother, and he was born with asthma. He lives in Tampa now. He's going to be moving over here, and he'll be coming to church here. He serves the Lord faithfully, but he's born with asthma. He's had it all of his life. And the doctor told him, told my dad, says, listen, he said, if I was you, I'd move him to a warm climate. Get him out of here, get him out of this cold climate, move him to a warm climate, and take him to either Arizona or Florida. Well, Daddy packed us up and moved us to Florida. We knew no one, didn't know a soul, but that's what he did. He chose to come to Florida. Now, here's the thing about it. Had he have not chose to come to Florida, Pastor, there'd be no Barbara, there'd be no Diane, there'd be no Cindy, there'd be no Aaron, there'd have been no Good Shepherd Baptist Church. You remember those good old days? I wouldn't know your pastor, and him and I have been friends for, well, 45 years. Went to Israel together years and years ago and had a great time. He preached. I can remember, I'll never forget him preaching on the Sea of Galilee, and we was able to lead the guide to the Lord. We'd never forget that. And it's something to, and stay in touch with him all the time, still do. But you see, there'd be none of this. There'd be no, I wouldn't be here tonight. And who knows, I may not have got saved. I got saved in a revival meeting in Tampa, Florida. Had we have moved to Arizona, it could have been that I would have never got saved. My daddy made that choice. I'm glad he chose Florida. I'm glad he did. So you see, you've got decisions that you're gonna have to make. And there's some choices that we make, and some of them don't turn out so good. I mean, I've made bad choices, many bad choices, but you know something? You've got a choice to make. And tonight I want to talk to you about the choices, just a few moments, on choices that you need to make today, not next week, not next year, not next Wednesday. You need to make a choice today. And there's some choices that I want you to make. Number one, I want you to choose to be faithful to your church. I want you to know something. This is the best church in the state of Florida. When Barbara and I was thinking about moving, we'd moved back down from West Virginia. We was thinking about moving in Tampa, and things just wasn't working out right. I came over here to talk to the pastor, and I thought, my goodness sakes alive, we began to talk, and pretty soon I found out we were moving right here. I felt good about it. I said, well, hey, we're in a place, looks like to me there's a lot of protection, and looks like to me that we got a great church, the best church in Florida as far as I'm concerned, and your pastor, I've known him for many years, and I thought, well, if I wanted the pastor, he'd be just as good as anybody I know. And so we moved here. This is the choice we made. I'm asking you tonight to be faithful to your church. Amen. Be faithful to God. I mean, love it. Back it up. Be faithful to it. Sunday school teachers, learn, get your lessons prepared. Teach that Sunday school. Bus captains, get those boys and girls here. Get them to church and get them right here. Folks, listen, they'll be backing up. Back up your pastor. I mean, pray for your pastor. You got two pastors here, him and his son. Pray for them, love them, and do everything that you can for them. Love your church. Listen, the reason that I'm here right now is because I said, that's the kind of church I want to be in. This is the kind of pastor that I want to have. I mean, I could have gone somewhere, maybe over in Tampa, and started something under a tree or something, but I didn't feel like that was God's will. I believe God's will was for me to do what I'm doing right now. But I needed a church. I needed a pastor. And the reason that we're here tonight, Barbara, and Barbara's right back here, verified, is because we felt like this was the church for us. This was the pastor for us. And this puts us right here. Now, I'm asking you to do the same. Be faithful to this church. Be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be faithful every service. Be right here and back up your pastor. Secondly, choose to be honest with God's money. Are you listening? Let me tell you something. Everything you have belongs to God. Did you know if you're going to have a mansion up there, you got to send the building material ahead? You can't take it with you. You just can't take a thing with you. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Go to there, if you will, and you'll find out how that you can labor for that which is under the sun. But wait a minute. You put it away and you leave it to somebody else. You don't know how it's going to be spent. You know, I know a guy that's made, I mean, he could be worth several $1 million today, but he spends it like crazy. Now, he tithed, he gave big offerings to the mission offering. He gave. But I can remember him looking at me, Pastor, and he'd look at me, and I'd say, "Hey, man, what are you doing spending all that money?" He says, "You know," he said, "Scotty," he said, "I would hate to die thinking that I had $100,000 left in the bank for somebody else to spend." I scratched my head. I thought I never thought of that. But you know something? He's right. But you need to spend it wisely, because it's God's money. I mean, be faithful to God. Be faithful. Be faithful with your tithe. Hey, the tithe belongs to the Lord. You say that's Old Testament. No, that's New Testament. Jesus said you tithe and these things ought you to do. He put his stamp of approval on tithing. And you tithe. I mean, that all of it belongs to. But you know what? He said, "I'm going to give you 90%. You give me 10. And now we come along and we say, "Hey, folks, the more you give, the more you'll get." I can assure you, I know that. I mean, listen, I know what I'm talking about. All these years, and Barbara, we've tried to live as meagerly as we knew how, but God just keeps bringing it in. I told you the story about how I got my last car. And lo and behold, I was over in Tampa just 3 or 4 months ago, sitting in the truck with a fella, and he takes off, drives me to the car dealer, and he knows the car dealer. He says he needs a new Lincoln. Got too many miles on the old one. Hey, so I said, "No, it runs perfect. Runs perfect. Don't need another one." He said, "It's like shoe leather, wears out. Get him a new one." I didn't see a new one I liked. I went back, I said, "Don't see one I like." And the dealer said, "Hey, let me show you some I just got in, factory reps." And I went, well, all at once the Lord spoke to my heart, and there was one. I went back and I said, "It's not new, it's got a few miles on it, but it's the one God said." And so I drove it off. Now listen to me, if I hadn't been in the ministry, you think something like that would happen?
Yeah.
You say, "Brother Scotty, if I give and if I give and if I give, you believe that God will give me a new Lincoln?" No, but I'll tell you what he will not do. He will not let you be a beggar. If you give, you'll not have to beg for food. If you give, you'll not have to beg for something to wear. If you give, you'll not have to beg for a roof over your head. You give. Give. I mean, be faithful to God with the money that God has given you. I remember years ago, some probably 14, 15, 16 years ago, we was coming in from another town headed for Tampa on Sunday. We said, "We haven't been in Landmark Baptist Church in a long, long time. Let's stop here for church tonight." Stop, and we got in, sat in the back. Didn't know a soul, I thought. The next thing I knew, Pastor was up here, and he said, "Scotty, where are you?" Somebody had slipped him a note. I guess it might have been you, Miss Sonia, I don't know. But he knew I was here. I was sitting in the back. He said, "I need to talk to you after church." And I said, "Okay." And so he met me after church. We walked outside and I really didn't even mean for him to know I was here. We walked out back and he said, "Listen," he said, "I've heard about your work in missions." He says, how about let's working together on our next mission program. Would you do that with me?" I said, "Sure, be glad to." He said, "I've been stuck on 200,000. For 3 or 4 years now." And he said, "I want God to do something." Pastor, I'll never forget the first conference we had. I think it jumped up 100,000, if I remember right. And it began to go up year after year. And I was so glad. And all at once, it got stuck. It got stuck at 500,000. And see, Micah, would you say 3 or 4 years it's been stuck there? And I watch that every time I come in. I look at it. And last year, I can remember thinking, "My goodness sakes alive, I know Pastor had to have been thinking the same thing. It'll take a miracle for us to hit our goal." But you know what? It went. It went over the goal. I'll never forget. It went over the goal. And I sat back there and I thought, boy, praise God. Great things happen here at Landmark Baptist Church. I mean, people do give. And this year, I'm watching it, and it's slowly going up. And this morning, he gets up, and he says, "We got over $100,000 to go to meet the goal." Well, that's the goal we've been having the last 4 or 5 years. And I'm thinking, man, that's about $25,000 a week. Somebody's going to have to do some giving. Somebody's going to have to reach down. And I was thinking about that tonight while I was thinking about what I was going to say over here. I hope you folks don't mind me just kind of rattling off a little bit. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Well, let me tell you what I want to say. There's enough money right here tonight to go way past that goal. Right in this building tonight. I mean, really, if somebody, you know, in about 1903, in Wales, it was dead. Nothing happening. Everything dead. But there was a little youth group meeting in a little church. And there had been a man by the name of Ivan Roberts, and him and a couple of ladies had been praying for 13 years that God would bring revival to Wales. In the middle of that meeting, a young lady got up. She was 17 years old. Her name was Lori. She got up and she said, I just want everybody to know, with tears streaming down her cheek, she said, I want everybody to know that I love Jesus Christ with all of my heart. And it began to spread. It began to spread. If you want to read one of the most amazing things that ever happened, read about the Welsh revival that happened at the turn of the last century. It spread out. People got saved out on the streets. Policemen, they say, fell on their knees right in the middle of town, right on the walkways. Farmers would be out plowing the fields and they'd fall on their knees and ask Christ to save them. And churches were built in Wales to where every citizen in Wales had a place to sit on Sunday morning to go to church. And that revival spread out through like you'll never believe. All you have to do is read about the old Welsh revival. You know something? Oh, would to God that we had some people like Lori that would stand up and say, I love Jesus with all of my heart, and spread through this auditorium, and revival began to take place, and people began to give by faith, not by sight. Give what you think God will give you, what you believe God will give you. Give by faith. Sacrificial. That's the problem in America. We don't know how to sacrifice. We don't have to have faith in America. We've got everything we need. Dear God, give us somebody. Let us have somebody that'll stand and say, I love Jesus with all of my heart. And others begin to fall on their face and say, I love Jesus with all of my heart. And people begin to give and give and give. And it would go over the 500. It would go to 600 and 700. It's hard telling how much it would go if revival took place. And some people said, oh my God. Oh my God, I love Jesus with all of my heart. Amen. Choose to do your best to get lost people to Jesus Christ. Amen. The world is lost. And the only way some people will ever hear the gospel, if that thing keeps going up and going up and going up. And next year, even more. It goes up. Choose you this day. Don't wait till tomorrow. Choose today. What you're going to do for the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you what happened. Several years ago, before we even had our auditorium, our ministry was much like this one here. A lady came to our church. I went to visit her. She was saved. I ended up winning all of her family to Christ. Her mom, her dad, the whole family got saved, except one boy. They called me up and they said, Brother Scotty, would you come by the house and talk to this boy? I said, yes, sir. They said, he's going to Vietnam and we want you to come talk to him about the Lord. He's not saved. Everybody in the household saved but this one boy. I went to the house. I talked for a few minutes and I said, young man, I want to talk to you about being saved before you leave. He said, don't have time. I said, just take me just a few minutes. just a few minutes tell you how to be saved, how you know you're going to heaven if you die. He said, don't have time. He said, I've got to pack. I've got to get to the airport. I don't have time. I said, you mean you're going to Vietnam and you don't have time to let me pray with you? He said, I'm sorry, preacher. He was nice, cordial. He said, I don't have time. About 3 months later, we got the word he was dead. They said, Brother Scotty, would you have the cemetery service? I said, yes. I went, never forget it. They did open it. There was a glass over the face. And I looked into the face of that dead boy with all that family that heard him say, preacher, I don't have time. And all I could think about was, you made a bad choice. A bad, bad choice. Tonight, if you're not saved and you walk out that door without Jesus Christ, you've made a bad choice. And if you're here and you say, well, I'm just not going to be part of this mission program, bad choice. Bad choice. Choose you this day. This day. We sent out 600 questionnaires to our missionaries. 140 so far have been returned. We asked them several questions. Out of the 140 that sent back a reply so far, we've had 37,552 salvation, 6,046 baptisms, 171 new churches, 48 Bible institutes started, 467 Bible school graduates. Choose you this day, not tomorrow, today. Would to God that young man had said, preacher, I'll take a few moments. Would to God Lori would stand up tonight and say, I love Jesus with all of my heart. And would to God people would see that revival could start